The stock market started off this Monday at a record high, a very different story than October 19, 1987, a date that would become known as Black Monday. The market dropped by 22.6% that day, equivalent to a roughly 5,000-point loss for the Dow today. What led to that crash is the subject of longtime New York Times financial reporter Diana Henriquez's new book. It's called A First-Class Catastrophe, The Road to Black Monday, The Worst Day in Wall Street History. Diana Henriquez, welcome back to Here and Now.
Wonderful to be here, Jeremy.
And we've talked to you about your other book, about Bernie Madoff. What made you want to dive into this crisis?
Well, the 30th anniversary, as you know, Jeremy, is coming up. And talking with younger people in my circle, even younger financial reporters, I was astonished at how little they knew about the 1987 crash. I lived through it myself as a reporter, but the mythology that has grown up around Black Monday is really an amazing monument to Wall Street amnesia, let me tell you. People will tell you, oh, it was no big deal. Oh, it was over in a day. It was one and done. And nothing could be further from the truth. So it was sort of, I kind of wanted to solve a mystery here. Why has Black Monday been so forgotten? Why have we not recognized what it was showing us and taken that to heart?
Well, why did you start your book where you did in the 70s? Because it seems to indicate that that was the beginning of what led to it.
Great question, and I'm glad you raised it, Jeremy. The book opens on the silver crisis, which was a bubble in the silver market. But what was significant about that crisis, which was in the commodity market, far from Wall Street, was the way it quickly leapt the traditional fire breaks. The panic spread from market to market, from the commodity market to the brokerage industry to banks and the various regulators of all those marketplaces barely knew each other's names. So we open on a world where official Washington is still kind of trapped in this delusion that there are all these isolated markets that can be regulated separately. And the silver crisis in 1980 blew that delusion apart for those who were paying attention. And then along the way, I illustrate the repeated occasions when a panic refused to stay where it was supposed to, so that by the time you arrive at Black Monday, you understand that this didn't just pop out of a clear blue sky. This was the culmination of a series of misjudgments, missteps, fundamental changes in how Wall Street worked.
Well, one of the fundamental changes was the rise of electronic trading. How big a role did that play?
It was an enormous role, and it was very unfamiliar to most investors at the time, particularly the Main Street investors, the extent to which computers were speeding the flow of orders into the marketplace at the speed of light. And many of those markets were still operating at what I call the speed of life, not the speed of light. They were human markets. They were trying to operate as they had operated for 100 years. And they were overwhelmed by the pace of automated order delivery. In addition, further in the background, in the shadows, beyond even the vision of alert regulators, were the use of computers to devise new and destabilizing trading strategies, to create new financial derivatives that were used in imaginative and unusual ways. So the computer was a tool of the financial engineers who were creating the new products that would so affect trading on Black Monday.
I must say, as you're talking about this, it sounds kind of familiar after having just lived through the crash of 2008. You know, people talking about a lot of fast trading and new products that nobody understands.
You're exactly right. I mean, in 1987, there were these titan investors who used these untested derivatives in computer-driven strategies, and they nearly overwhelmed a balkanized regulatory system. Exactly the same thing happened in 2008. Too big to fail, investors using untested derivatives in high-speed herd investing strategies with fragmented oversight. So we're right back where we started, only with exponentially larger scale and risks.
Now, you've brought up the issue of regulators. You talk in this book about Ronald Reagan, who took office in 1981 and was pushing for smaller government, was appointing people who wanted to cut back on regulations. How much responsibility did Reagan and his administration have in the crash in 1987?
Well, it's sort of a mixed bag, Jeremy. Yes, there was a new deregulatory fever in Washington. The way that played out, however, was in skimpy rations for the regulators. So to the extent that the regulatory machinery was understaffed and underfinanced, that was a result of this determination to cut back on big government. But I should point out that after the crash, it was a blue ribbon commission appointed by President Reagan, led by staunch Republican Nick Brady, who recommended that we scrap our current regulatory system and put a unified regulator in charge in Washington. So both, you know, the prescription for what we should do and some of the problems that gave rise to Black Monday can be traced back to these political divisions. But I should also say that the Democrats in Congress on the left in the 1980s were not really part of the solution either. They wanted more funding for regulatory agencies, true, but they failed to undertake the serious oversight of these profound changes in the marketplace.
Well, and I wonder if we can ever expect our members of Congress to be able to be good regulators of the financial industry, because it is so complicated. How can we expect them to understand all of these new products enough to oversee?
Well, that's why we need to look at the regulatory structure we have. We don't expect our politicians in Congress to understand nuclear energy, but we do expect them to adequately fund the Department of Energy and make sure that the risks that that agency oversees are adequately taken care of. I think that the same thing is true of our financial markets. Yes, they are extremely complex, and yes, they are algorithm-driven, and there's lots of rocket scientists from academia who are making fortunes on Wall Street, and that is arcane and bizarre for a lot of people in the political realm, but they still have the responsibility of making sure that the regulatory agency is appropriately structured, appropriately funded, and appropriately staffed so that it can understand what's happening on Wall Street, even if they can't.
Did you get a better understanding in writing this book of why crashes happen, how something that seems small can get out of control very quickly and spread and cause a market crash?
Yes, although it wasn't a big surprise. You know, we've been laboring for decades under the notion of an efficient market, a rational market where investors make rational decisions, and those decisions are incorporated into the prices of securities automatically. I never found that particularly persuasive. I've got too big an appreciation for how people panic in a crisis. But after researching Black Monday, I don't understand how anyone can believe that that's an accurate explanation of how markets work. We're human beings. We bring a lot of baggage to our investment decisions. We get frightened. We indulge in wishful thinking. We ignore the red flags until it's too late. That's the nature of the human mind.
Well, and in your book, you write, quote, "Where does this leave us today, 30 years after Black Monday, exactly where we were then, in a storm-tossed lifeboat in which all the passengers are shackled together with the obnoxious crew members who carelessly steered our ship into the storm." So how likely is it 30 years later that we have another crash for the same reasons?
Well, we know we're going to have another financial crisis. We don't know when, but we know we will. How likely is it that we'll be ready? I will admit that I am concerned about that. I'm not sure that the focus in Washington is where it needs to be. There's a lot of talk about repealing and the Dodd-Frank law that was adopted after the 2008 crisis, tinkering with it around the edges. That isn't what we need. We need to wipe the blackboard clean. We need to start from scratch and figure out the best way to regulate this modern, hyper-automated, extremely complex marketplace where we find ourselves.
I'm sure a lot of people on Wall Street are going to read your book. What about people who don't work on Wall Street or don't work in the financial industry? What do you want them to take away?
I want them, first of all, to understand that this is not a mom-and-pop market. We're the mice on the elephant's dance floor here, and we need to understand our role. What I hope they will take away from the book is a clearer picture of how today's market works and how we got here. But I also hope they will realize that when the elephants are stampeding and running around with their ears on fire, what they should do, what you and I should do, is stay calm, stand pat, and wait out the storm. And then when the dust settles, call your representative in Washington and demand that we finally get some meaningful action on regulatory reform.
That's Diana Henriquez, whose book is called A First Class Catastrophe, The Road to Black Monday, The Worst Day in Wall Street History. Diana, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.